And you might like to turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians and chapter 4 for a moment. And chapter 4. And in our exercise, looking as we did in the light of the Old Testament prophets, into the future, and we could find Calvary's cross, we can find the kingdom, we can find the tribulation, and there we are. Now, and that's how Malachi ends. Now, going forward, we wouldn't know. Christ is going to die on the cross. We got that part. We don't understand something else. And therefore, all that happens on the cross and because of the cross was not in the mind, in their thinking at all. That wasn't in their head. Now, it may have been Daniel and different ones, but not anyone else. So therefore, we read together, due to working out of and from chapter 4, we read together, let a man so account of us as the ministers. And remember we said, rowing the under rowers, think of the old Roman ship, and down underneath, on top of the deck, there's no rowers, they're all down underneath, rowing. That's the word, under rowers. Down at the bottom, just doing the job. The ministers of Christ. And we are stewards, household managers, used of slaves. Slaves would be given that job. A given slave would be had that job of managing the household. It's a very privileged job, to say the least. And stewards, what were they administering? They were ministering the mysteries of God, the mysteries. And remember, we shared the word mystery, Philippians and 4. You know, Paul said, I have been initiated, I have been inaugurated into the mysteries, as it were. That's the beginning. God took me aside and gave me the privilege of understanding something that only can be understood by God, who gives the information. Without it, you don't know it. So Paul, mysteries of God, and we share together, it is required in stewards to what? That a man be found faithful. Not just, that isn't, you start faithfulness, you end faithfulness. So the whole ministry of the human heart is to what? You have an assignment by God as an under-rower to be a steward of truth. And that's stewardship of truth is to be your life. You're to be faithful in outworking that stewardship from the day you were born to the day you die. That's your stewardship on planet Earth. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you can, over and as you do that, think about, if you would, in the Old Testament, that we knew a lot about God, if you wanted to, and to know a lot about God. It's one thing to know a lot about God. It's another thing to know God. We know a lot about things. It's different to know him. But, so therefore, in the Old Testament, we had Genesis 3:15, Isaiah 7, Isaiah 9, Micah 5:2, Isaiah 53, etc., etc., etc. So it isn't a question that we didn't understand about God. And the cross, we did, Isaiah 53, We did. But what we didn't understand, that we would crucify him and reject him as a Jewish nation, that we didn't understand, that we didn't know. We thought it'd just be a save, die on the cross, pay the penalty, and on with it. Isn't it in our mind that we're going to crucify him and reject him? Oh. Now, God, you got to help us. That's our assignment now in the light of that. So therefore, over if I can, 1 Corinthians and in chapter 2. And you'll catch the idea, if I can. Verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, and Paul certainly could have done that, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save or except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So, the testimony bearing witness to certify, I determined not to know anything about the word testimony in verse 1, and that, for I determined not to know a testimony, and as I just mentioned, it was a confusion, a testimony bearing witness to certify. For I weighed the issues. I came to a decision. I determined not to know anything among you. And I determined not. That's where not goes with determined. I determined not. I made a judgment call. I made a decision. Now, here I am in Corinth, and here they are, southern Greece, all over the place with everything. And in the process, Paul said, I determined. I looked out. Could I have given them a whole lot of things to think about and talk about and give them understanding in the Old Testament? I could have done all that. I could have. I determined not to do that. I'm not going to do that. No. If I do that, all it will do is stir up conversation and have a lot of conversation about the subject of Christ dying on the cross. We don't need a lot of subject. We don't need to have a lot of conversation. And Paul said, I'm not going to go and do that, for I determined among you to save, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all I'm going to do, is tell you and make you know about God's wonderful grace. And that's where I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay there. I'm not going to give any more thing to talk about. All I'm going to do is tell you, you need to understand that if you don't believe, if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your soul is in deep trouble. And you don't need to think about 1,000 things and weigh 1,000 things. What you need to do is just believe. When you believe, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, then you will have sight. If you don't believe, you won't have sight. So we could talk for the next 4 hours on all kinds of things that relate to this, and it won't do a thing for your heart. You have to believe, period. And the only thing I'm going to tell you is, please, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm telling you. Well, what else? No more. But what about him? Who is he and what should he do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all he's going to say. Make a decision. and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And, looking if they can, and remember now, if you go and want to talk about everything, no, we don't need to talk about everything, said Paul. We need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the light of your old sin nature, in the light of Adam, all you do in your darkness, if you don't believe in the darkness, we'll have a lot of conversation. We can write a lot of books, have a lot of theological discussion, but we won't get saved. We won't get saved. No, nope. We're caught up in the system. What you need to do is flat outright believe. You aren't going to see, you aren't going to understand unless you believe. So therefore, hold them right here. And if I can, look over in chapter 1. And what do you know? What do you know? Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And all of I'll just read a couple more verses so you see it. Verse 21, after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Jews require a sign. The Greeks, the Gentiles seek after wisdom. And we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling, and unto the Greeks, the Gentiles, foolishness. And they keep reading. All of it. No flesh shall glory in his presence. Verse 29. So therefore, looking, think of chapter 2 now, with that introduction, Paul said, you aren't even in the place to see 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not because they've rejected the gospel. Well, how did the devil do that? Kept me from believing. What are you trying to say, Paul? I determined. I'm not going to tell him anything. I'm telling him one thing. You want to talk to me? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, et cetera, et cetera. That's it. You don't want to do that? Go talk to somebody. Go talk and go to school. Go to theological school and spend a lot of time. Go do what you want to do. Go do it. You got to believe. Got to believe. And so, when we come over to chapter 2 again, in chapter 2, verse 3, and I was with you, said Paul, in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now, Paul the apostle, to the Gentile, his ministry to the Gentiles, and he's there. And he's there. But it isn't an easy thing. It's a very exercise. He's being exercised in trembling. He's going to have to tell them flat outright. These are intellects and people that think and want to argue and want to debate and do all kinds of things. I'm not going to do it. And I know you're going to all come after me. But chapter 2, verse 4. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I looked to God and gave the message, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, just because your intellect says, I understand that. But you don't know him. You don't know him. You're talking about him, preaching about him, writing about him, but you don't know him. You don't know him. We know a lot about many things, but we need to know him. Hang on. Now, and therefore, sliding down, verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, whole, complete, yet not the wisdom of this world, but nor the princes of this world that come to naught. Remember what you read in chapter 1, verse 7. But we speak wisdom, the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world, unto our glory. I gave you the truth. You all wanted, hang on, we'll put it together. You get it? So we're all making, here we are, and we're going to do what we do, and in the light of our old sin nature, it isn't going to come out very good. So, and therefore, the mystery. I'm going to tell you something that people didn't understand. God didn't give the information. God didn't give it. God is now telling you that Christ went to the cross and died. He died for you. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to convict and convince you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, period, or you're lost. Simple as that. Now, so what does that do? Now, if, keeping in mind, they didn't know this. So when we read down verse 9, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. That's in verse 9. But tie that, I need to go back up to verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord Christ. They would have never done it. But they were in the dark. They weren't believing. They needed to believe, and they weren't believing. And God gave them. So it wasn't a question. It wasn't a question of knowing God. God was already to be known. Adam and Eve knew God. Cain and Abel knew God, etc., etc. Isn't a question of knowing God. It's a question of understanding and believing what he was trying to say. But no one was going to believe him that much. They knew he would die. They never connected again. He would be rejected. And we'd crucify him. Jews and Gentiles, we would crucify him. That never got in our little head. That just didn't get to us. Now, so therefore, in the light of our old sin nature and all of that, sliding over, I'll do it just quickly, over to Romans. We are in 1 Corinthians. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And I'm just going to, there's all kinds of ways. I just want to lock it in so as we go to each step on this thing that you get there. John chapter 8, sliding directly in the light of the context, verse 24. I said, therefore unto you, our Lord said, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Now, isn't that pretty brief? I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, God, were you like that? He was. He was. If you don't believe in me, you'll die in your sins. That's pretty straightforward. But we want to talk about it. Talking about it isn't going to do it. And think of the people you try to talk to and talk to and talk to and talk to and talk to. And you write and read and write and read. When do they know God? Not know about God, because you can learn a lot about God. But you don't know him. You don't know him. There's a difference. We know a lot about a lot of things. But to know the subject is something else. Hang on. Now, over to Romans 1, right, the way you're thinking of it, so you see it. It's easy. Keep putting it together, and you'll catch it more and more. And in the process, in God's wonderful kindness. In Romans chapter 1, picking up in verse 20, verse 19, because that which may be known of God was manifest, made clear, public, plain. Where? In them. Why did they know God in their heart? For God hath showed it unto them. God, let them know, every human being born, that he is God. Now, verse 20, that's why you need to believe. That's why you need to believe. It isn't a question you just didn't know. It's just you aren't believing. And who's telling you? God's telling you. Look at, you'll see it, verse 20. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They have no word. So say, well, there is no excuse. What about the poor guy in the middle of the woods somewhere? There's no excuse. He knows this God. What are we going to do? Well, you put it aside. And he may be safer in the woods if he's all alone, because he wouldn't be with humans. He'd be with the animals, and the animals aren't going to go louse him up. So in the woods, all by himself, he just made to understand God quicker and better without talking to humans. Now, so picking it up, please, in the light of that. And verse 21, because that when they knew God, it wasn't that they never knew, it's when they did know God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So we know in God's work that if the rulers, if the people of the world had known, they would have never crucified him. But they didn't know. They're in the dark. They choose to be in the dark, and therefore they don't get out of that. So the wisdom, God is going to give them the truth of God in the mystery of God in the wisdom of God. I'm going to help you understand, Paul said. That's why you need to just believe. When you believe, you will find out what I'm talking about. When your eyes are opened, then you will see. But as long as your eyes are closed, you don't see. No. And you could talk about it and dream about it and argue about it, but you never know. You need to believe. And then when I know, then I'll believe. No, you believe, and then you know. You have to believe. Now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, so the unbelief blinds the mind of the human heart, as you know. Over, if I can, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew and chapter 12. And picking up if I can. And in chapter 12, Matthew, what did God tell him? What's the basis of all this? Christ would go to the cross and die. You shouldn't have rejected him. You should have believed, but you didn't believe. Therefore, all of this is in the dark to you. And I'm going to have to help you understand what you need to understand about Christ going to the cross. Now, since you aren't believing, Jew and Gentile, so over in Matthew chapter 12, as you'd know, verse 38, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered and saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. But there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. As Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the heart in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The only sign I'm going to give him is the sign of the prophet Jonah. All they're going to see is an empty cross, and all they're going to find is an empty tomb. And I am going to go and show you what you missed. I'm going to take a whosoever, and I'm going to save them. And they're going to realize I died on the cross for them. He took each of us to the cross, took care of our sin, buried it. He's all done with it. And then he gave us the right and the privilege of knowing him, his resurrection, our death, his life, the gospel, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery. Wow. Now, having that in mind, keeping that in mind, so the blinds are blinded, over to Romans in chapter 16. So when we come to Romans, and in chapter 16, picking up, please, in verse 25. Now to him, what you're doing now is making the word, understanding the mystery that you're supposed to understand, we're supposed to understand and be stewards of. We're trying to put that together in the light of the New Testament, which is a unit. So I need the pieces to get the whole picture so I can do it. So that's what I'm doing. And therefore, chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Christ Jesus, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, who made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. God. Now, what are you going to, that's a mystery. Wonderful, wonderful revelation. The preaching of the revelation, the mystery. The revelation of the mystery of the gospel. The gospel say, good news. What's good news? What is the good news? Christ died, according to scriptures, buried, and rose again, according to scriptures. That's the good news. Where am I reading all that? God's in the 1 Corinthians 15, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm looking at God, you're giving us information to understand in the light of your rejection, which we won't understand from the Old Testament, but we surely had better understand in the light of the New Testament. It isn't a mystery anymore. It needs to be very clear and simple. And therefore, the only sign I'm going to give them is the sign, Prophet Jonah, I'm going to take a human life, and they're going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God is going to save them by his grace. And God is going to show his grace to the whosoever. And God is going to go. And many as receive him, to them give you the right, the privilege to become children of God. And then you go to verse 16, and he gives us grace, and grace of grace. Christ, full of grace and truth, entered your heart. And God is going to show, Acts 1:8, you're his witness. You want witnessing, you're his witness. You stand there, and as it were, and you're showing what? God has found his rightful place in your heart. And that's what God's going to show them. So all we can do then, us worldlings out here, all we can do is look at Jews, but Jews aren't believing. But we can look at whosoever's that believe, and we can look at them, and we should find Christ. When we're looking at them, they should be an example of God's grace. But then they aren't doing whatever. But that's where God is going to show it. And you say, well, God should do better. No, because the unbelieving world, where is God getting whosoever's? He's getting whosoever's from the world system. They're children of Adam. They all have an old nature. And they're all unsaved in attitude and thinking. But they understand they need to be saved. And they look to God to be saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, may I go? I'm picking it up, please, just so you connect it. Not that you didn't, but you just to do it. Verse 3, if our gospel, 4, 2 Corinthians 4, 3. But if our gospel, the good news, be hid, right, because it wasn't understood. People didn't understand that. Christ would die and rise again and enter the human heart. No, that wasn't understood. No. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. For when, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, that's I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ, him crucified. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So when we received him as our Savior, he brought light and brought knowledge, the knowledge of the glory of God. So we weren't talking anymore about God. We're talking about knowing God. He entered our heart. We received him as our Savior. That's an event. That's a factual, realistic event, an action. I received him. I'm not talking about him. I received him. I know him. That's what you're saying. I'm not talking about Jesus. We know. The believer knows. I know him. He finds his home in my heart. You see, I'm not telling you about him. We don't tell the people about God. We point to God. We tell them, listen, the Lord saved us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So now, and having said that, you know, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God, it has to be all about your wonderful, wonderful person in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And God, therefore, we're going to have to look to you to do a work in our heart. And it's an awesome thing, God, they're taking. And all you're going to do is show what? You're just going to show whosoever's that are saved. That's all you're going to do until you come. You're not going to do anything else, no. I'm just going to take whosoever's, and I'm going to go and find my home in their heart. And they're going to be able to go, and I'm going to go in their life, and I'm going to show in their life by my grace and my wonderful plan for their life, I am going to show I am resurrected, and the life they're going to talk about is my life. We walk in newness of life, the life of God. That's what we're going to do. I have a relationship to God. Hang on to that. Now, having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you can, I'm picking up, if you would, over to Ephesians and in chapter 1. And in the process, and you would remember chapter 1 and in verse 9, the prayer, having made known to us the mystery of his will, which is what we were just talking about, the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. The mystery of his will, and then you go verse 10, 11, 12, wonderful, wonderful statements to tell you what it is. It's all about I'll read verse 10, that in the dispensation, in the stewardship, the outworking of the wonderful plan of God, all the dispensations, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and both which are on the earth, even in him. Now, having said that, picking that up, chapter 3, the dispensations. The mystery, to pray. God wants us to know. That's the mystery of his will. So it isn't a mystery anymore. What God wants and how God wants it isn't a mystery. We got it. We know what it is. We don't know about it. We know it now. So therefore, chapter 3, Ephesians, in the dispensations. Chapter 3, in verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. So Paul was able to go on the Damascus Road, killing believers, and God saved him in a marvelous way. And now Paul is going around and going to go and tell them that God has given me the stewardship of being able to tell you of the mystery of God's wonderful, wonderful, the mystery of the gospel, of the good news, that Christ died, was buried, and rose again, so that you all could have newness of life. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, verse 2, verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote aforetime in few words. So how does Paul know all this? Because God did it. Hang on, just in case that's... Hold your finger there while I think of it. Go back over to Galatians, and just tie that together. Paul, God gave it to him. How did you get saved, Paul? On the Damascus Road, Acts chapter 9. In Galatians chapter 1, testimony, but I certify, chapter 1, Galatians verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel, the good news, which was preached of me, is not after man. What I'm trying to tell you is God had to tell me and help me understand it, because otherwise no one could ever know it, and I surely didn't. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation. Being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers, I outdid them. But, verse 15, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. That's what he did. I got saved, Paul said. God really saved me. He saved me to reveal his son in me, that I may preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, etc. Back over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 3, as we've read, verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. Paul was God used Paul, like Peter, James, and John, and Moses. God used them in a most wonderful way. So, now, having said that, sliding down to verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God, God in a personal, very direct, personal, intimate way, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now that wonderful, wonderful mystery is now made known. God knew it, but the Old Testament's people didn't know it. The Old Testament didn't know it. Now they ought to know it. Now, and what are we doing, God? Who's paying attention to God's only sign, the empty tomb and a believing heart? Who's paying attention? Verse 10, to the intent, purpose, that now, unto the principalities and powers, the whole big system that's in the world of darkness. You'll remember, hold your finger there and go over to chapter 6, verse 12. Just to tie in so you see it. Chapter 6, verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Puts back over to chapter 3. Now chapter 3, verse 9. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, verse 10, the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, a mystery. Remember, the rulers of this world thought they were wise, but they were foolish and missed out. They didn't. They missed the whole thing. God's going to show the angels and the other and everybody else in power. He's going to show them. Going to show them what it's all about. He's going to take a human heart and find his home in it. And if you want to find God, look at the believer, and you'll find him in the believing heart. That's where he is in his most wonderful way. And therefore, over to chapter 6. What are we going to do, Paul? So you see it all. Chapter 6, verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, as Paul kept reaching out to believers in evangelism, etc. That purpose, I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Yep. The good news. Well, I don't see any good news. It's a mystery. You need to believe, and you'll see it. You'll see it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We get 21 chapters of John. What are they all about? God is saying 99 different times, you need to believe. Why don't you just believe? Why don't you just follow instructions? You know, if I was totally blind, we were blind, and someone said, well, like God, they did with the Lord. And the blind man said, O son of David, have mercy upon me. And I help me. And God touched his eyes, and he saw. Do you know? I'm not going to have a debate. If you have the remedy, if you have the touch, touch me. I don't need to talk about it. I don't need an explanation. What medical school did you go to, Lord, etc.? What did you do, God? I don't need to have that. So when we're in the presence of God, we don't need to tell God, God, explain why we're going to do, what you're going to do, why you're going to do, and how to do it. I'll see if I like it. No. Why don't you just believe me? It's so simple. You remember that in John chapter 6 without turning there. What can we do to work the works of God? Next verse. Just believe me. And he never said, works. What can you do to the work? He didn't tell him about lots of works. He didn't tell him about any works. He said, why don't you just believe me and let my work be found in your heart? My working, my outworking, God's work, God's workmanship. Philippians 2:12. Outwork. You're looking to God outwork this wonderful plan, the mystery. It is a mystery that God would have such a plan for a human heart, even now. Such a mystery. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, so, and again, over, if you can, over to Colossians. And you already know God in his wonderful grace, Colossians 1 and 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God. It's a special time, in a special time, special way to show God's wonderful grace. It's a mystery that never was understood until God made it known. How did he make it known? He went to the cross. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14, full of grace and truth. And God went and gave us his grace in the person of Christ. And God put the person of Christ into the human heart, John 1:12, as many as received him. And as many as received him, John 1:16, they receive grace upon grace. God's doing what? He's showing in a human vessel. 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. In earthen vessels. And I'm going to show it. What are you going to show? I'm going to show my grace. I'm going to take nobody's, and they're just going to believe me. And I'm going to go and do what only I can do. I'm going to save them in a wonderful way. How are you going to save them? Verse 26. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest, clear, public, plain to his saints, not to the world. The world doesn't know anything. What we're talking about right now is foreign. You won't see him sitting in here. They don't want to know that. They don't even believe it. Now, so therefore, 26, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest in his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory. The riches of the glory of what? Of this mystery. It's a glorious thing. What I don't see. I received the Lord as my Savior. Yeah, good. Do you understand how marvelous that is? How awesome that is? That's awesome. It is. Wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully. Yeah, Christ. Verse 27. The Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yeah. When you received God, God is showing his grace. He's showing his grace in an earthen vessel. That's what he's doing. They say, we earn something. No, with the works of the flesh, profit nothing. Won't do anything. No, it's nothing about you. No flesh shall glory in my presence. Not about you. It's about God and being gracious and letting you enjoy the relationship to God, which is awesome. We touched on it last night a little bit. We did. In a marvelous way. What do we mean? Well, we looked to God and we understood. We understood that here we are on planet Earth, and we're very conscious of being alive. And we're very relaxed with whatever capacities we have, physically, whatever we got. And we're glad we got them. Each one, young, old, whatever, you got so many left. Aren't you glad for them? Oh yeah, we're glad for them. No question. You're very thankful for them, aren't you? But you don't say it. You don't say it. You just know it. You just live with thanksgiving. That's what you do, don't you? You thank God. Isn't it good when you get up in the morning, you can get up? How's that? And you're happy with it. You're very thankful without using the word. You're thankful for the function of your body. When you're saved, God wants you to be thankful without stopping. Pray without stopping. For what? That you are having his life in you. And be very, you need to be very comfortable with God finding a home in your heart. Very comfortable. Like I'm comfortable living in this body, dying body. I'm very comfortable. We're very comfortable being at home with God. And you say, thank you. We say thank you. Lots and lots of thank yous. But we're just automatically thank you. Thankful. We're just always God. We're always just thankful. I live thankfully. I just live thankfully. Got it? It's a mystery. No, can do that. Yeah. You betcha. You betcha. I gotta quit, I think. I do. You got the idea?